Ricciardo, this is David Coulthard.
Hi, this is Daniel Ricciardo.
That was brilliant, mate. I think we can see a smile from here. Nice job.
Thanks, guys.
Hi there, it's Sebastian Vettel. You're listening to the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast.
You've done it. Style. Fantastic. You're a four-time world champion. You joined the greats. Well done.
You did it. Yes. Yes.
Can I do donuts?
Donuts will not be required. Thank you.
Take that as a yes, then.
Hello and welcome to the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast. And for round three of the 2014 Formula One Championship, we've headed for the dust, sweltering heat and desert of the Bahrain International Circuit. Bahrain is familiar ground. We've been here racing for a decade now. It's a nice paddock with good facilities and a track with plenty of variety, which is one of the reasons why it was chosen as the venue for two of the three pre-season tests. What is a little unfamiliar is the idea of Bahrain as a night race. This is the first year that cars have taken to the track under the floodlights. A total of 120,000 tons of asphalt were used to build the circuit, and for this race each lap is 5.412 kilometres. It's a testing track too. The constantly changing character of the corners and its desert location means it can be difficult to settle into a rhythm, and sand blown off the desert can suddenly appear on track, meaning drivers are never quite sure where it's going to be slippery. Coming up on the podcast, we'll hear from both our drivers about their races here in Bahrain. We'll also catch up with David Coulthard, Christian Horner, and our head of marketing, Dominic Mitch. Plus, we have news of how you can be having breakfast with the team in Montreal. First, though, with this being the first time Formula One has ventured here under the floodlights, Rich went to see our reserve driver, Sebastian Buemi, to see what that means to the driver.
So I'm joined here by Sebastian Buemi at the Bahrain Grand Prix. Sebastian, how are you doing?
Yeah, very good.
Talking about Bahrain, it's the first time that we have a night race here. Can you explain to the fans what the challenges are driving at a night race compared to during the day or at dusk?
I honestly think that driving at night here is maybe even easier because the temperature is coming down, and on a circuit like Bahrain, it's basically the biggest issue for the driver is the fact that it's really, really hot. So other than that, you know, we drive with a clear visor just because the light system is a bit different to daylight. But clearly, I think there is more grip in general on the track. I think the cars are quicker because the temperature is lower, and you know, it's completely new for us to drive at night here in Bahrain. So I just think it's, you know, it's good.
And talking about the circuit in Bahrain, it's changed over the years. Can you give the fans a slight overview of the track?
Yeah, I think it's already the 10th year that we are coming to Bahrain, and to be honest, we experienced two types of circuit. There was a circuit with a longer part, especially in the second sector, which we drove in 2010, but only for 1 year because it didn't make really sense. Other than that, I think it's a great circuit. We've got long straights, good opportunities to overtake, very tight corners, again long straight, so you know, it's very difficult for the engine, very difficult for the brakes, but I think most of the drivers are enjoying this track.
With regards to the boys, we've just watched the qualifying and we've got Seb starting in 10th and Dan starting in 13th. What are the challenges of starting mid-pack compared to starting at the front of the grid?
I would say normally the main issue is you are more in the middle of the pack and more things are happening, so in terms of getting out of the first corners without any damage on the car, it makes life a little bit easier if you start from P10. But I think we can be, you know, we can try some things tomorrow because the objective is really to come back. I don't think that that's really our position. I think we definitely belong to the top five. We just need to work on the strategy and try to give the best opportunities to the guys in the car to just come back.
How's things going with your season so far? Can you give us a quick update of the racing that you've been doing?
Yeah, it's going very well. Obviously, we had the first official testing for the Le Mans 24 Hours Championship in Paul Ricard last week, and everything went well. So I'm not going to be in China with you guys because I will spend the weekend in Silverstone doing the first race of the WEC Championship. So at the moment, you know, everything's going good.
It's excellent. And next off, as you mentioned there, we're off to China. What can the fans expect from China as a circuit and a place to visit, and also with regards to the racing?
I think it's one of those new type of circuits, you know, very wide, very long. There is a huge straight, so obviously normally good overtaking possibilities there. To be honest, I don't expect many differences in terms of leaders. I still expect Mercedes to be at the top there, but hopefully we'll be right behind and maybe even fight for something better than just a podium.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. And which is the next race that we'll catch you at?
I will be back in Barcelona. We'll do some job in the simulator first, and then obviously on a Saturday morning I will be back at the track in Barcelona.
We'll make sure to catch up with you in Barcelona then. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
On to the Bahrain action, and it was a tough start to the weekend. Daniel had a great qualifying session, taking third, but because of last weekend's 10th place penalty, it meant he had to start back in 13th. Sebastian suffered a spin in the afternoon's final free practice session, which caused some damage to his RB10 that hampered his progress in qualifying. He didn't make it into Q3, qualified in 11th, which became 10th after Daniel's penalty. Come race day, the boys put in an awesome performance, with Dan finishing 4th and Seb in 6th. Hamilton won the race, closely followed by his fellow Mercedes driver Nico Rosberg. Force India's Sergio Perez just beat our very own Daniel Ricciardo, who managed to make up an astonishing 9 places from the start, and here he is after the race.
It was an awesome race. It was exciting. I think the first stint was it was pretty, you know, follow the leader, but then it just seemed from the second stint on, the race really started to turn up the heat, and there was a lot more battles going on behind me and in front of me, and it was nice to be a part of them. And yeah, we got close to the podium today, I think just within half a second there, so I was doing all I could. But yeah, the car came to me as the race went on, and I was happy with how I moved it up through the pack. So good day.
Hülkenberg split our two cars, with Seb finishing in 6th. Here he is after the race.
Well, I think it was a busy race at the end, especially after the safety car. But yeah, shame that couldn't get further up. Obviously, Daniel proved that there was a little bit more to get. I couldn't really get to that bit, so not happy with my day. For some reason, we seem to be very slow down the straights, not just against the Mercs, but also across cars, it seemed. But I'm not that kind of guy that wants to find the reason for everything, even though I'm a racing driver. But simply not good enough today.
The Williams drivers Felipe Massa and Valtteri Bottas finished 7th and 8th, and the Ferrari pair of Fernando Alonso and Kimi Raikkonen took the final 2 points positions. It's been a few weeks since we've heard from DC on the podcast. Anna caught up with him straight after the race.
Well, I think Formula 1 was the winner today. A fantastic race. Clearly, there's still a huge advantage for the Mercedes team right now. They were pretty much able to win this race without even taking consideration for the 3rd, 4th, 5th and all the other runners. But behind that battle out front, we saw some great wheel-to-wheel action. A fantastic comeback from Daniel after that 10-place grid penalty. Good solid points again for Sebastian. Some other great stories there. Force India with only their second proper podium result. Sergio Perez and his 4th podium result. I think that under the night lights of Bahrain, Formula 1 has really put on a great spectacle, and that's really important because there's been so much controversy over these new regulations.
And what do you think about the fight between Sebastian and Daniel?
Well, I think this was a very mature battle, a very unsurprisingly great strategy from the team in terms of the new, at certain points Daniel was faster than Sebastian, gave that information to Sebastian, he moved out of the way, let him get on with his race. And then of course there were times where they were really racing wheel to wheel, and in this instance Daniel was able to deliver. You know, this is what the public want to see. They want to see teammates going at it hard and fair, and ultimately as I said earlier, Mercedes are so far ahead right now, it was really a question of a battle for third and below, and this is really hotting up as we get back to the European season after China.
Now heading to China, what do you think all teams have to do to catch up with Mercedes?
They need a chunk of horsepower. They need to be able to harness that energy, put it into the battery packs and deliver it in a way that really enables them to be fast on the straights. You know, Mercedes have stolen a march, really understood the regulations and integrated that into the works chassis. You know, clearly there's a few teams out there, Force India, McLaren, Williams, all running the Mercedes to more or less success. So clearly Mercedes Grand Prix have really done a fantastic job, a bit like Red Bull were doing in the last 4 seasons. But that's the competitive nature of Formula 1, and as true as they're winning right now, the other teams will close the gap.
Last Last question for the race in China. What kind of race will it be? Obviously, it's a different condition to Bahrain. How do the teams prepare, and what of a difference will it be?
Well, it's a lot faster track in many ways. Huge back straight, over a kilometre long, and you know, speed's really going to play its strength again. I think Mercedes Grand Prix again will be able to, you know, fight amongst themselves, and it's going to be probably quite a difficult, especially last sector, difficult for the Renault runners. But that middle, the first and middle sector, should be very good for Red Bull. Interesting to see, you know, just how that battle hots up with Force India, Williams and McLaren. McLaren obviously here in Bahrain had a very disappointing result, not finishing. But on the face of it, with the way the racetrack is there, it's going to be again a battle for third place. I don't see anyone beating Mercedes.
So you think Mercedes will be in the front?
At the moment, I don't think it's enough time for the Renault runners to really close that gap. But in the future, as we get into the middle part of the season, as we get to races where straight line speed and acceleration are not the dominant factor, then I think that that will really be able to play to the strengths of Red Bull and teams that have a really good chassis but just don't really have the interaction of the power unit at the moment.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
On last week's podcast, we gave you the chance to be a star of the podcast and win some signed merchandise. Here is our winning message for the team.
Hi, Infinity Red Bull Racing. This is AJ. Love the podcast. It's so good to see Seb and Daniel doing well. It won't be long before Dan gets a win. Come on, Honey Badger. Oh, and please tell DC to sing more. Bye.
Well done, AJ. We'll send the signed merchandise over to you. We've got another chance for you to win now. Following on from the first Breakfast Club, where we invited some of our fans to come and have breakfast at the factory in Milton Keynes with Christian Horner and the team last month, we're now looking for three more fans to invite for breakfast at our team hotel in Montreal at the Canadian Grand Prix. So if you're heading over to the Grand Prix and would like an opportunity to hang out with the team, drop us an email at social@rebelracing.com. That's social@rebelracing.com with the subject line, pick me for the Breakfast Club. So social@rebelracing.com with the subject line, pick me for the Breakfast Club, a short description of why we should pick you, a contact number, and also make sure you're connected to us either on Facebook or Twitter. So imagine that. You could be having breakfast with the team in Montreal. What a prize. Good luck with that. It's been a busy few weeks for the team with back-to-back races. Rich went to speak to our head of marketing, Dominic Mitch, to see what that means for him.
So I'm joined by Dom. Dom, thanks for taking the time out to have a quick chat to us. We've just been on back-to-back races in Malaysia and Bahrain. How's the whole trip been and the experience so far?
It has been a great trip, long, to be honest. I'm quite looking forward to getting home now again after almost 3 weeks, but probably not as successful on track as we would have hoped. But in terms of Malaysia and Bahrain being very hospitable countries to go to, always enjoyable. A lot's going on in and around the racetrack. So yeah, had a great time.
And just away from the track, I mean, most of our fans get to see the activity we do on track, but we've got a lot of other marketing happening and other events happening around the world. I know that on the 4th of May we have the Wings for Life World Run taking place. Can you give us a brief overview of what the Wings for Life World Run is and why the team is supporting this event?
It's a fantastic event. It's a new concept that we're launching this year for the first time. It is obviously all to support the foundation of Wings for Life to make spinal cord injuries curable. It is an event that takes place in 34 different countries at the same time. So some people will be running in the evening, some in the morning, or like myself, I will start in Silverstone at 11 o'clock. As I said, it's a very enjoyable event. Obviously, the team is supportive of the event, so our drivers, who are also ambassadors of the foundation. And to be honest, if we can help to create more hype around the event and also encourage more people to support and to be part of the event on a global basis, with Formula One being a global sport and having global reach, I think it's absolutely necessary and our duty to support as much as we can.
This year is also our 10th year of racing, which we've been doing a little campaign around. What does this accomplishment mean to the team?
I mean, 10 years in the sport of Formula One might not sound a terribly long time, but for us, what we have achieved in those 10 years is remarkable and makes us very proud. And obviously, we have been through a very exciting journey from the first days in 2005 when Red Bull came in to the sport as a team owner for the first time, doing loads of marketing activities and events, parties, a etc. And now, obviously, being four times world champions and pushing on the highest level of the sport has been an incredible journey for us. So we will celebrate this in a very subtle way. I think we'll have events throughout the year to remind ourselves and remind our fans of who we are and why we love the sport and why we love being within the sport. And yeah, watch out on our website and digital channels for what things are coming.
Just talking about the last 10 years, do you have any favorite moments, maybe two or three highlights?
The best moments have to be probably my first race. Personally, that was obviously quite an exciting first. Then if we stick with the first, then definitely our first win in China. Very, very emotional event for me personally and for the whole team. And then the first championship in Brazil, which was fantastic to be part of. I mean, that was such a big relief for everyone. A massive celebration. One to remember for sure. Something to tell your kids about when you're old and sitting at home. So, and then there were loads of other great moments, but I think those three were probably the standout moments in my career.
Talking about other events that we do throughout this year, we've got our live demo events. We've recently just done one in Kuwait, and I believe at the end of the month we've got one in Budapest. What can fans who are going to these events expect, and do we have any other events lined up after that? Where else can fans see us this year?
Well, obviously the Running Shortcut team is a great project that we're running as one of our marketing pillars. The idea is to bring the sport closer to fans all around the world, to countries that not necessarily have the chance or the opportunity to see a race firsthand. So we have been to over 100 countries and places throughout the last years. It's something that we continue pushing. Obviously, we'll be supporting the World Series by Renault events this year again. And then on top of that, we'll go to some exotic places. The next one's coming up is Budapest, where we've been guests several times already. Will be a massive show. So definitely one to watch out for. We'll be in Goodwood again, which is obviously close to home. So a nice one for us to support again. And Kazakhstan, which should be an interesting one. We've never been there, so will be quite exciting.
Sounds like good fun, and all our fans can get all the event information on our website. Next up, we're off to China in a few weeks' time. What can fans expect at the next GP, and what are some of your favorite things about China?
For us, it's an interesting race because it's the first year that Red Bull actually launches on the Chinese market, so we'll be supporting the local market with a soft launch and positioning the product there. In terms of racing, it's always a great racetrack, massive building, quite impressive to see. Hopefully a lot of fans will turn out again. And the Chinese culture, obviously being so different to the Western culture, is for us always quite an interesting one to come. We'll definitely will test out the local cuisine and specialities in town.
Well, thanks for catching up with us, and we'll be sure to catch up with you after China.
Thank you very much.
So, a positive weekend for the team here in Bahrain. Katie managed to catch Christian Horner before he left for the airport.
Okay, what do you make of the race we've just seen?
It was certainly an exciting race, and I think throughout, you know, the first half of the field, up at the front, the leaders were going hard at it, but again, you know, our guys coming through from the grip positions where we started, you know, we're racing hard, and the race came alive for us in the last third, and after the pace car punched everything up, we saw both of our guys racing each other hard and obviously making progress through the field.
And were you happy with fourth and sixth?
I think probably fourth and sixth is as much as we could have hoped for here, considering the disadvantage that we've got, you know, on the straight line. So plenty to do, but I think that, you know, fourth and sixth is everything we could have got out of today.
And we heard something on the radio as well where you were asking Sebastian to let Daniel through earlier on in the race. What was that about?
Well, they were running different strategies, so on different tire strategies, and you know, the two drivers, we discussed it before the race, worked together brilliantly well, and Sebastian was totally cooperative and allowed Dan through, who was on a quicker tire at the time, and enabled us to maximise the strategies. So it's great to have the two drivers working together like that, and then obviously racing each other hard at the end of the race.
Daniel's now got points on the board as well. What have you thought of him so far this season?
I think he's done an incredible job, you know, to be pushing for a podium, to be racing the way he has, qualifying the way he has, is a great performance. And I think that, you know, hopefully we go to Paris now and try and get his Australian points back.
And Sebastian?
You know, obviously he hasn't had a totally clean weekend this weekend. He's reported some issues in a straight line that has affected him in the race. And there's, you know, a bit to understand there, but he's working hard at it. And, you know, obviously China's where we won our first ever Grand Prix. So we look forward to going there in a couple of weeks' time.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast. As usual, you can get all the latest team news, pictures and videos on the website redbullracing.com. Thanks to Red Bull Records for some of the music on the podcast this week. We'll leave you with Blitz Kids, Sometimes, the Hadouken remix. We're back in a couple of weeks from the Chinese Grand Prix. Until then, take care. Sometimes.